Sometime late in the year 49 or early in the year 50 AD, something happened that changed the history of the world. And when it happened, no one noticed. It was in that time that the Apostle Paul, during his second missionary journey, came to preach the gospel at the city of Philippi in northeastern Greece. This was an historic moment because it was the first time the gospel of Jesus Christ was preached on the continent of Europe. There in Philippi, Paul established the first Christian community in Europe, but at length he went on his way. Some years later, while he was in jail, Paul wrote to the church at Philippi to continue his teaching of the gospel. And between September the 14th and October the 12th, the second lesson at each Sunday Mass is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, which in your Bibles runs to about 5 pages. In these weeks is a good opportunity to study the whole text of Philippians carefully and to pray with it. When Paul arrived at Philippi, it was already nearly 600 years old. In the year 360 BC, the father of Alexander the Great conquered the city, which was then called Crenides, and renamed it, well, after himself. And why not? He was the conquering king. So Philip's city became Philippi. Then 2,056 years ago, in October of the year 42 BC, on the plains outside of Philippi, Octavian defeated his rivals in the Roman Civil War, Brutus and Cassius, the assassins of Julius Caesar, setting the stage for the end of the Republic and the beginning of the Roman Empire, with himself as the first emperor, now not simply Octavian, but Augustus. In other words, given its history, Philippi is not a place we might associate with the virtue of humility. And yet it is precisely about that virtue that the apostle writes to the young church at Philippi. In composing his letter to the Philippians, Paul also took advantage of what was then already an established and well-known Christian hymn, one of the earliest liturgical chants, we might say, of the Christian church, a poetic text which sings of the humility of God's eternal Son, who laid aside his divine glory in order to take human flesh, pointing out that the purpose of the incarnation was to give to the eternal Word of the Father the only thing he did not have from all eternity, namely the capacity to suffer and die. Paul took that liturgical text and wove it into the fabric of his letter to the Philippians in order to give them encouragement on how they could live together in peace. You see, being a Christian has always been difficult, both in the sense that Christianity is a stumbling block in the world, and Christians are therefore to be a sign of contradiction, and also within the church, living together in peace is difficult because of our fractious nature. Paul writes, "If there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, then complete my joy by being of the same mind, with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing." This vision of human life described by Paul, unity, we might call it, should not be understood as a solitary voice speaking one word to tell everyone what to believe and how to live. Rather, What he's describing is a unity which is a harmony of many lives, a symphony of many voices and hearts, but all working together in a harmonious way without discord, dissonance, conflict. Do nothing out of selfishness or vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. This lofty vision of human life experienced as harmony is quite simply beyond our power. But it is not beyond the power of God's grace, a grace that is revealed in the hymn that Paul now weaves into his text. He says to the Christians at Philippi and to us that we must have among ourselves the same mind which was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at. Rather, he emptied himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of men. He was known to be of human estate, and it was thus that he humbled himself, obediently accepting even death. Death on a cross. Because of this, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every tongue proclaim to the glory of God the Father, Jesus Christ is Lord.